Amen. Singing songs like that makes me just want to sing. And even though that I don't know many times when I'm on key or off key, it still makes me want to sing. Hallelujah. Something about when God puts something inside of you, you just want to sing to the glory of Him. You may not have the ability or the talent, but God's not looking for ability or talent. He's just looking for you to open up your vocal cords and just worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. Matthew 15. Good to have the newlyweds home. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Saw you this morning, just didn't get a chance to say hi. Glad to have you in service with us today. Amen, amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Looking forward to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And looking forward to tonight, but really looking forward to bless our community. And looking forward to the kids' revival. And looking forward to handing out over 500 backpacks and making burgers and hamburgers and bikes and all of that. Who knows? I may put my name in one of those raffles and I'll have a bike. Hallelujah. Just kidding. Remember years ago, I went to Target, and it was years ago. We were living behind the church, and not behind the church, but we lived in a house behind the church. And my daughter wanted a pink bike. And the problem was, is we had a car. We didn't have a truck, so we couldn't put the bike in the car. And that's when Target was just open. So Brother Miller, I bought a pink, it was Walmart, not Target, it was Walmart. I bought a pink bike and I rode it home. It had all the tassels on the, the handlebars. It had the nice little pink basket and I just pedaled. No telling what people was saying about me, but I didn't care as I was riding for my girl to see. Amen. It's things that we do. Things that we do. And having said that, you should never hide your worship or hide your praise or feel intimidated to stretch a hand towards heaven or ever feel intimidated to let a tear begin to fall down your cheek, because you're worshiping God and you're loving Him. And when you do that, all heaven begins to notice. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Bible says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. I hope that one day the Lord would look at me and say, Great is thy faith. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded to them that diligently seek him. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought: desperate times calls for desperate measures. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. God bless you. May be seated. All throughout Scripture, men and women take extraordinary measures to accomplish extraordinary results. Men and women who realized that they didn't need anybody else to do it, that they would do it themselves, because they believed in a cause. They believed in a mission. They believed they could literally change their world. Men and women that did extraordinary things were men and women that stood in the gap, that men, the Bible says, that subdued kingdoms, that wrought righteousness, men and women who obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, Hebrews 11:34 says, they quench the violence of fire. They escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Can I stop and just tell you, there is a world that is not worthy of you. Not for you to put your shoulders back and raise your head up high and think you're all that in a bag of chips. But I'm telling you, there is a world in which we live in that are not worthy of what we possess inside. Moreover than that, we're not worthy to possess what we have inside. But because of his mercy, because of his grace, and because of his love, we're able to take his spirit upon us, and we're able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But these all, Bible says in verse 39, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These were men and women who the Bible said waxed valiant in the fight. And it also stated that out of weakness they became strong. Notice it did not say out of their own strength they became strong, or out of their own bank account, or because of their last name, or because of where they lived and what they drove and how much money they had in their bank. No, the Bible said out of weakness became strong. Men and women who realize that desperate times calls for desperate actions. Men such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, go ahead and throw me into that fiery furnace. We're not going to bow down. Men such as Daniel that said, I don't care what the decree says. I'm going to open up my windows and I'm going to pray. And the Bible said these were men that were thrown down in the lion's den, but they would not stop praying. Men and women such as Esther that said, if I perish, I perish, because I was called for such a time as this. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. And Jesus made it clear, those that are hungry and those that are thirsty are the ones that are going to be filled. It may not make sense. It may not sound right. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if we're hungry for the supernatural, if we're hungry for his presence, if we're hungry for his touch, if we're thirsty to drink from wells of living water, God said, I'll fill those that are hungry and I'll fill those that are thirsty. I'm going to tell you what we need in this hour is not more inventions, it's not more technology, but what we need is divine encounters from the creator of this world. We need the touch of God. We need the hand of God. We need the anointing that breaks every yoke. We need that same fire, that same zeal, that same Holy Ghost that was with the disciples. We need that in our time and in our era, because desperate times calls for desperate actions. We are living in the last days, and what we do, we must hurry. You say, Pastor, why are you setting up a kids revival? Why are you gathering backpacks? Why are you gathering bikes? Why are you gathering burgers and hot dogs? It's really not going to do much. It's not going to stop starvation from the world. It's not going to stop people from walking. It's not going to stop people, from buying their own backpacks. What possible difference can you make? That's what the world will tell you. But I'm going to tell you, anytime that we sow things in the spirit, anytime that we start loving people, anytime that we start serving our world, heaven takes notice. God takes notice. It may just be a backpack. It may just be a bicycle. But I believe it's more than a backpack and more than a bicycle. I believe we're throwing seeds into our grounds, because I believe that love conquers everything that we can come against. Yeah, we're living in the last days, and we must do everything that we can to reach our world, because we're living in the last days. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. Bible states in Matthew chapter 15 verse 22 that there was a woman of Canaan that came out of the coast where Jesus was. She went to where he was. And Mark went a little further in his description to describe her. He said it like this in the 22nd verse. She was a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician by nation, which was interpreted, she was a heathen woman. That's what Matthew was trying to describe to us. And so she knows, number one, that she's not wanted there. She knows that she's not welcome there. She knows she doesn't fit in with the religious orders of that day. She knew she wasn't right. She knew she was Syrophoenician. She knew she was a Greek woman. She knew she was a heathen woman. But this outsider had a desperate need, and it called for a desperate action. And the Bible said that she begins to go where Jesus was. Can I tell you that the first step in your miracle, the first step in your healing, the first step in your breakthrough, you have to go where Jesus is. I know that blows your mind. I know that's profound. I know you've never heard that before, but I'm going to tell you that the key to your breakthrough and the key to your deliverance and the key to your healing and the key to your miracle is you got to go where Jesus is. You've got to make up your mind. If I can just come in contact with him, if I can just touch him, if I can just go to where he is, I know that God would touch my family. I know that God would touch my spouse. I know that God would touch my kids. If I can just make up my mind, I'm going to come to church. I may not feel good in body. It may not make sense to me. But if I can just get to church, if I can just get to where Jesus is, I know that God will come through. We've got to make up our mind. We've got to go to where he is. We've got to tap in to the Spirit. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care what anybody else is doing. But when I come here, then I raise my hand and I raise my voice, because I've got to get a hold of Jesus. Jacob said, I'm not leaving until you bless me. Somebody's got to get that made up in your mind and made up in your spirit. I'm not leaving this service until God changes me. I'm not leaving this service until God heals my body. I'm not leaving this service until God helps my marriage. I'm telling you, if you'll activate faith and you'll understand that no longer are you bound by time, but now you're bound by the things of the Spirit, because desperate times calls for desperate actions. And so this woman's made up her mind, I'm going to go where he is. And so she goes to where he is. And I read this and it jumped out in me that the reason why she went there, the reason why she went ahead and let people talk about her, the reason why she became humiliated because they said she didn't belong there, and she was a heathen woman, and she didn't fit in, and she knew that people were going to talk. But listen to this. She didn't go to where he was because she had a need. She went because of her girl. Bible said that she went because of her daughter was vexed with a devil. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came to the same coast and cried unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She wasn't coming for her own need. She wasn't coming for her own breakthrough or her own healing, but she was coming because of her girl. And I'm going to tell you that there something happens inside of a parent that says, you know what? Whatever you got to do, you got to touch my baby. You got to touch my boy. You got to touch my girl. And this woman said, I don't care what people are going to say. I don't care how they're going to talk about me. There is a baby girl that is grievously vexed with the devil. And I'm going to go to Jesus. I know I'm not wanted, but I'm going to go to where he is. Why? Because my baby, she needs a breakthrough. My baby, she needs a deliverance. And so she goes there and she cries, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. She's crying for her daughter. She knew who he was. She knew what he could do. She wasn't coming for her own need. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. And so she made up her mind, I'm going to go. Even though I'm not unwanted, even though I'm unwanted, even though nobody else wants me there, I'm going to go there. And so she goes there and cries. And in verse 23, after she cries, the Bible said, but he answered her not a word. What? Don't we serve a God of love? Don't we serve a God of mercy and compassion? I mean, that's what this world says. Jesus loves everybody. Well, why in the world? She breaks out of her shy zone and she goes and takes a step of faith and she screams, have mercy on me. And the Lord looks at her and doesn't say a word to her. She cries in faith, but he answers her not a word. Now, some of you are like, that's not a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, that's a faith killer. You talk about someone stealing your hopes and your dreams. For she knew what Jesus could do. She knew what Jesus did. She knew that he raised the dead. She healed the sick. He cast out devils. She knew what she could do. And she cries out and steps out and goes to church. And he answers her not a word. Now there'd be many of you that'd be offended. Many of you would get on Facebook and you'd say, I can't believe it. I went to Abundant Life Center today. I got needs. We have an Aiden. We're sick. We don't got no money. And we went to the church and we went to the pastor and we told the pastor, hey, I need help. Could you believe he didn't say anything to me? I'm going to take his picture. Don't go to this church. Sin. It happens. Something about social media. When that button hits post, you can't take it back. Oh, you can sometimes delete it, but it's still out there in cyberspace. And people get on there and go, oh my goodness, he's a pastor. He goes to church. He didn't what? And then they start sharing it. And then all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of haters out there. And all you tried to do was to get your baby healed. But he answered her not a word. What do you think that'd do to you? Would you be happy? Oh man, I'm coming back to that church. That church is on fire. They don't talk to me, but they're on fire. They don't like me, but they're on fire. She was an outsider. Nobody shook her hand. Nobody acknowledged her. Jesus did not answer her. She was desperate. And I don't think she stopped. I don't think she stopped crying. Stay there in 23. Because he answered her not a word.
And his disciples said, send her away, for she cries after us. The ministry. First she's saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And he doesn't say anything. And so it's not in there. But she's crying after them. I don't know what she was saying. Hey, guys, you're supposed to be preachers. I have a need. My baby's sick. They're like, what's going on? Jesus, send her away. She cries after us. I'm in church. I don't need to be cried after. You know what I'm saying? Sing my songs. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there, but not you. You know what I'm saying? R4 and no more. I remember preaching a church years ago. It was either in Mississippi or it was in Colorado. And I was preaching there, Brother Juarez. And when I was done and I was preaching on evangelism, preaching on going out there and winning souls. And they looked at me and said, you know, that was a nice message. But we're really happy with who we got here. As Bishop would say, we don't want to mess up the barn. We don't want to mess up the church. We're okay where we're at. That's what these guys were telling this Syrophoenician woman. We don't want you. You don't look the part. You don't smell the part. Jesus, send her away. So the Lord replies in verse 24. But he answered her. First, he didn't say anything. Second, the disciple said, send her away. But in verse 24, she looks at him. He looks at her and says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. First, he doesn't answer a word. And now he's saying, woman, I didn't come for you. Meaning, today is not your day. I don't deal with you. What a church service. What a place to go. Some of you are like, I ain't never going back to that church. But it didn't stop this lady. Because she was a mom and her baby needed God to heal her. She was grievously vexed with the devil. Disciples said, send her away. Jesus didn't answer. And when he did answer, he was like, I'm not called for you. And in the next verse, she does what all of us dream about doing. Bible said that she began to worship him, saying, Lord, help me. I'm not saying praise. Praise is thanking God for what he's done. But worship is saying, I worship for who you are. I'm not asking for anything. He doesn't answer a word. Disciples said, you're crazy, get away. Then he says, I'm not called to you. But she drops on her knees and she begins to worship. Isn't that what Job did? When Job lost everything he had, didn't he fall down and worship the Lord and say, blessed be the Lord. He gives and he takes away. Easy to rejoice when we get a raise. Easy to rejoice when God gives us a new car and a new home and a new bank account and a new 401k. It's easy to say, God, you're awesome. But when was the last time you said, God, you're awesome when you lost your job?
When was the last time you came in this house worshiping the Lord and you had bills that were due and there was no money in the bank? When was the last time that you just said, God, you're good, you're a healer, and your body was racked with pain? And I'm telling you, there's some of us that got to get a hold of this revelation, and that means it doesn't matter what comes or what goes, he always deserved worship. That's what she did. She began to worship him. It's all I could do is I've got to worship him. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to tell you that your healing is just a worship away. Your breakthrough is just a worship away. Your financial miracle is just a worship away. You've got to activate faith and say, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. I come to praise and worship you. She became a worshiper. That's what she did. And we would think that worship then, as we know that God inhabits the praise, right? And we know that when the worship goes up, the glory comes down. Isn't that awesome? After she worships, I mean, this is an ordeal. This isn't just a one-step rejection. She got rejected many times. Now she worships the Lord. And the Lord looks at her in verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. First, I'm going to give you a word. Second, my disciples are going to get you out of here. Third is I'm going to tell you I wasn't called to you. And then you go worship. I don't give it to the dogs. Well, I'm not going to this church because I never get fed. Pastor preaches too long. It's always talking about this, always talking about that. I'm going to go to a church where I can be used. Really? It's about you? You know, we only have a Holy Ghost revival when I show up. Really? It's all about you? You bring the anointing. You bring the breakthrough. You bring the miracles. How come I've never seen your name in the Bible? I've never seen you listed in the heroes of faith of Hebrews chapter 11. I've never seen your name. But yet you think that everything revolves around you. And everything has to be just right. We have to shake your hand. And I'm going to tell you, I try my best to love on every one of you. And I love every one of you. Okay? Don't leave this place thinking that pastor don't like you. I love you. But I may not be able to shake your hand in a service. I may not be able to say, hey, I love you. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. But this woman, she did everything she could. Rejected every turn. Everything she tried, it went down in flames. And now the Lord's saying, it's not meat to give the crumbs to the dogs. Give the meat to the dogs. And she said, activates faith. That's faith. Faith is not saying, many of us give wrong. I'm not going to talk about giving much, but we give wrong. Because we tried to manipulate the system. Because the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, prove me that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to bless you. The same measure you give, you'll be blessed in the same. We love all of that, but many times we give because we want to get. We don't just give because of who he is and how good he's been. See, I believe the Lord looks at the heart and he looks at the intent of your heart. And he knows how you're really giving. And when you understand God, number one, I'm bringing back the 10%, the first fruits to you. And then I'm going to give you offerings. I'm going to bless you
because you've been good to me. And when God starts to see that, he starts to bless. He starts to multiply. This woman got a hold of this. She knew, number one, she didn't deserve to be here. She knew her last name wasn't the greatest. She knew her past didn't make sense. And there's many of you that you don't deserve to be here. And your past would disqualify many of you. And you do not fit in. But because of his blood, because of his mercy, because of his grace, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved, and through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You're here because of the gift of God, not because of who you are. And this woman realizes this. And she looks at him, understanding that she doesn't deserve this. She doesn't, she hasn't done anything that's worthy of a miracle, but her baby. A desperate time. Some of you have a desperate need in your life, and we push it off like another service, another time. But when you make up your mind, I'm not going to leave this place until you bless me. That's what got into her spirit. And she says, I know I don't deserve to be here. I know I'm a dog. I know I'm a Syrophoenician woman. I know I'm a heathen woman. I know your disciples don't like me and the church don't like me, but I'm going to keep worshiping you and activating faith. Because that's what she did. She activated faith. He called her a dog. In verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, you're right. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be at this table. I am a dog. I have a past. I have mistakes. I have failures. I've done things. I've said things that I wish I could take away and relive. I've got regrets in my life. I know I don't deserve this, but my baby is grievously vexed. My daughter has a need. It's not for me. It's for her. And I'm desperate. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And I'm not leaving here until I get my miracle, Lord. Truth, Lord, you are right, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from your table. What she was saying, Brother Miller, I don't need much. I just need the crumbs. I don't need the spotlight. I don't need to play. I don't need to sing. I don't need to be behind this pulpit. I just need a crumb. Because I've got a baby that needs this. I've got a kid that needs this. I've got a family member that needs this. I've got a friend that needs this. I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve much, but if I can just get a crumb. That's how I feel of what's going to happen next week. Last Sunday night, I talked about filling the pew. I talked about getting a hold of this and getting a burden for people, getting a burden for family, getting a burden for friends, getting a burden for coworkers, getting a burden for your neighbor, getting a burden for those that you come in contact with every day. Filling the pew that way. You've got to understand, we're living in the last days. And desperate times calls for desperate actions. I don't need it, but he does, and she does. God, I'm going to push away the plate. My body wants to eat, but Lord, I'm going to spend some time in fasting. Lord, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. In the wee hours of the night, I'm going to pray. God, I'm going to activate faith, and I'm going to go to people, and I'm going to tell them about you. I'm going to tell them what you did for me. God, I'm not looking for a miracle for myself, but God, I'm looking for a crumb for my neighbor. I'm looking for a crumb for my spouse. I'm looking for a crumb for my baby. And desperate times calls for desperate actions. The question of the hour is this: what do you need? What do you want? Because it all revolves around one word, and that word is faith. You have to activate faith. You have to forget about your flesh. That's what the beggar did. The Bible says he took his garment off, threw it down, and he went to the Lord. The Lord says, "What do you need?" He said, "My eyes, Lord, that I may see." He threw the garment down by faith, knowing that God would touch his eyes. And I'm going to tell you what we need a fresh baptism of. A fresh baptism of our spiritual eyes. To open up our eyes to a world that desperately needs this, that desperately needs to feel what we feel and partake of what we partake of every service. Service after service, we are so richly blessed with music and worship and the presence of God. And God is calling for some men and some women that'll just get hungry. Men and women that'll just get desperate. Men and women that'll say, "You know what? Desperate times calls for desperate actions. And my baby needs this. My friends need this. My family needs this. And God, you can count on me. I'll be the one to stand in the gap." Would you lift your voice all across this building tonight? Come on, I'm not looking to have you run the aisles and jump and shout, but I am preaching to someone that's hungry. I am reaching for somebody that's thirsty. I am calling for somebody that'll say, "God, if you can use anything, you can use me. I don't have much to offer, but what I have, God, I give it to you. Take my hands, take my feet, take my mouth. God, I give this to you. I'll be one, God, that'll get desperate for this, because desperate times calls for desperate actions." Would you lift your voice with me tonight? Come on, all across this building. Oh, I've got family that needs this. It's not my own need. It's not my own want. But God, I'm praying right now for a fresh baptism of your Spirit, a fresh baptism of your anointing oil that'll hit me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, set me on fire. Lift up your voice in this house. Come on. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. I just need some men. I just need some women that'll make up their mind. God, you can count on me. God, I'll be that spokesman that you can use. I don't have all the words, but I'm praying, God, you'd give me wisdom beyond my own understanding that I'll reach for those that you can change and touch. Lift up your voice in this house tonight. Come on, we need to get a burden for this. We need a burden for this. Come on, he's done some great things in your life. He's blessed you so abundantly. And as you have freely received, we ought to freely give. We got to give out what God has given to us. We've got friends that we influence. We've got family that we influence. And you're the only Jesus that they'll ever see. And I just need somebody, anybody that'll say, "God, you can count on me." Shatarakayato Sharayarako. Come on, we got what this world needs. We've got what the alcoholic needs. We've got what the drug addicts need. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. We've got to get this out there. I I just need men and women that are sick and tired of having church as usual. I need some men and women that'll catch a burden, God. We need our altars filled, God. We need to trouble the waters of the baptismal burial. We need it, God. We need a harvest of souls, God. Oh, all across the building, you ought to lift up your voice right now. Shatara kayaraso. Oh, come on, they that hunger, they that thirst, they're the ones that are going to be filled. God, I'm hungry for this. I'm thirsty for this. Set a fire down in my soul. Set a fire. Set a fire that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Come on, lift up your voice. Jesus, thou Son of David, help us, God. Help us, God. You've called us for such a time as this. I know it's just a backpack. I know it's just a bike. I know it's just a meal. But God, I need you to anoint our efforts as we begin to reach this world. Come on, lift your voice. Lay a hand to that person next to you. Let's link up together. Oh God, I'm praying that you'd anoint my brother. I'm praying that you'd anoint my sister, God. I'm praying that a burden, God, would begin to develop, and would begin to be birthed inside their spirit, God. A burden they can't get away from, a burden they can't walk away from. But God, place it down deep on the inside. We've got a world that needs this. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. I just need people to make up your mind. I'm going to get intentional about this. Sharakaya raso. Hallelujah. 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 Last Sunday, I put 64 names on these pews, and I gave you names of people that need to be here. But right now, I'm not asking you to think of five names. I'm not asking you to think of 10 names. I just want you to think of one name. One name, every one of you, just one name. And I want you to begin to pray for that person right now. And I want you to begin to pray, God, help me. And I want you to speak that name. Speak it so heaven can hear it. Speak it so hell knows that you mean business. Speak it that this world would begin to hear this. Speak it that the very gates of hell would be shaken tonight. Speak that name. Plead that blood by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over them. Help me, God. Give me favor with them, God. Give me words to speak over them. Come on. How hungry are you to see them in church? How thirsty are you to see them refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? How desperate are you to see them saved? Desperate times calls for desperate actions. Sharakaya raya raso. Tarakiyata. Sharakoros. Yaraka. Oh. Oh. Sharakaya rasi. Come on, that's it. Come on, push a little. Let the Spirit begin to make intercession for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Desperate. I'm desperate for you, God. Sharakorasiyah. Hallelujah. 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 Harasaya Raki. Haranda Yako. Oh. Cause us, Brother Rincon, to wake up at 5 in the morning and pray. She calls us to do more than just talk about it. Lord said, I don't want you to be hearers only, but I want you to become doers of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, if God is going to bless us with a great harvest, and I believe he is. And I talked about it last Sunday, and I seem like it's my spirit's in my heart. This building cannot house the revival that God has for us. Even if I tore down the wall and made the balcony. One time we had, I believe, 1,100 people in our building. It was several years ago. It was a funeral service. And I believe the Lord spoke that in my spirit that we're going to see that in here. But here's how it's going to happen. We have to repair our nets. We went fishing the other day. We were catching fish. And if they weren't big enough, they were throwing them back in the water. And the sad thing that many of them that were thrown back in the water did not live. They just kind of floated. And you watch the seagulls come and take them away. The Bible says there is a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've got a job. And what I'm commissioning every one of you. I'm challenging every one of you. I want to reach hundreds and thousands. But let's forget about hundreds and thousands right now. And I want you to focus on one. Each one, one. And I'm not just talking about bringing them here and seeing them repent, seeing them baptized, and seeing them filled with the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. Really is. But that's a birth. It's a new birth. You have a wonderful baby right here. We're thanking God for your baby. But if you take that bottle away from that baby and just say, you know what, get your own food. Get your own nourishment. Number one, the baby's going to cry. But if we're not careful, we could turn a deaf ear to the cry. And we could no longer hear that cry. And God has given us babies. He's given us people that if we'll desperately get this in our spirit, Sister Lisa, I'm just going to focus on one. We've got 6 more months of this year. Just crazy. We'll be out of 2018. But what if you become intentional for that one person and you make up your mind, I'm going to pour myself into that person. And you start doing what the Lord told us to do. You start going and make disciples. That's the problem. Our world says, we've just getting baptized. Holy Ghost, woo, we're numbers. One pastor said, we pray 100 through so we can keep 50.
I don't want to lose anybody. I do know that people come and go. One left Jesus, the creator of the world. But if you'll be intentional and you'll make up your mind, I'm going to pour into them. I'm going to teach them a Bible study. I'd love to see 10, 15 Bible studies going on at one time. We don't need a big group setting. It could just be one. If you'll start making that disciple of that, then by the first of the year, we'll double. And then we'll double again. And we'll double again. Do you realize how that begins to multiply? We had a banner here years ago. Bishop would remember the banner. It was green and white. It said, you are either discipling others or you're in need of being discipled. We need to be about the Father's business. But the only way we can is we got to get desperate with this. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. I believe everybody's thinking of a name, been praying for that name. And here's how I want you to pray in the weeks and months to come. God, give me favor with them. Let me not just, you don't have to just right away say, would you like to come to church? Start loving them. Take them out. Anything I could pray for? Would you like for me to teach you a Bible study? Because I really need to know more of the Word. And I'd love to grow together. If you'll approach them right, I don't think anybody will tell you no. And you start just going through the Word. And we start making disciples. And we start changing our world. And in turn, we start repairing our nets. And we start taking authority and ownership that, you know what? I'm going to fill this pew. And you say, I'm going to fill this pew. And Eddie says, I'm going to fill this pew. We all take ownership of this. And God can use us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Here's how we're going to conclude tonight. I knew we wouldn't be running. I knew we wouldn't be jumping. And I'm tired of just preaching for the emotional part of it. But I would like to see us conclude lined up at this front, making declarations to the Lord. God, I don't deserve to be here. I've got a past. I don't deserve this. I know you're not called but to the lost sheep of Israel. I know my name ain't the best name. I know it's not right to give the dogs the meat from the table, but God, I'm not asking. Not asking for the meat, God. Just asking for the crumbs. If I can get the crumbs, God, I could touch that one that you've laid on my heart. God, if I can get that crumb and I can share them you, I can help disciple one another. Come on, lift up your voice right now, God. I don't have much, but I'm going to make a commitment to you, God. I'll be hungry for this. I'm going to be desperate for this because, God, desperate times calls for desperate actions. Come on, would you lift up your voice? Would you make a commitment, God? I'll pray for them. They'll be in my heart, God. I'll be intentional about it, God. Give me wisdom, God. Give me favor, God.